All right, everybody. Good morning. Good morning on this Wednesday morning, January the 14th. Can you believe it that we are here already? Well, I do have some word I want to read to you guys this morning, so let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for your word this morning, Lord, because your word never fails us. It never fails us, Lord. And we thank you that it's our solid rock. We can trust in this word more than anything that our eyes see or our ears hear. We trust in you, Lord. You are our rock. And you will lead us where we will go. So we worship and praise your holy name this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you would turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I just have to tell you, God gave me this last night. When I was just sitting in the living room reading the Bible. And my faith has been under attack, something fierce, over the past 6 months. I mean, I can't even explain how bad my faith has been. I've been wanting to sell this house. I've been trying to sell everything I can. I mean, desperate, you know. But it's brought an unsettling in my soul, you know, because I see what is coming, and I know you guys do too, and I show you guys, and I almost hate to even show you anymore, because it's at our door. You know, the last few things that I've showed you is, roundups have begun, so it's here. There's no running from it, but we can't let fear sit in, and that's what's been happening in my life. And it's because I know what God has already showed me. And even though I'm a woman that has been through a lot and has had much faith, it doesn't mean that I'm not human and that I don't fear this either. I do. You know, but the Lord, through this word, is showing me again, you know, if you just trust in me, I will carry you through this, you know. Because my thing is, I know what's coming to me. I just want Dennis taken care of. You know, I don't want Dennis to hurt at all. And so, we just have to have faith. And me and Dennis, you know, we talked about it this morning. We're going to stay here and we're going to ride the storm out. We're just going to trust God. Whatever happens, happens. None of this stuff is ours anyway. It's all the Lord's. And so, faith is the substance of things that we hope for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, when I first moved here, God told me, I'm giving you the Garden of Eden. You know, and we've been standing for 3.5 years that God was going to pay this land off. Because we was hoping to be able to bring people here and to be able to help people when the bottom fell out. Which, we know now that the scenario has changed. You know, that it's not what we thought it was going to be. It's actually through their illusion of prosperity. You know, it's not like the way we thought back in 2020 that the grid was going to go down and people's eyes would be open. No, they know that. They know that if they was to cut off people, that they would run from their trust in the government. And that's what they want, is people to go into their crypto and to go into this illusion, this image of the beast, you know. And so, why would they allow them, you know, to have their illusion broken? But anyway, so it's been a lot of factors, but we just decided we're just going to ride it out and just trust God. I mean, you know, it is what it is, and the Lord's in control. And so let's go to verse 2. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, God spoke it and it came into existence, which we had this conversation the other day about the name it and claim it. What is that other dominionism doctrine? It's not that it's all wrong, you know, because we are to declare with our mouth, frame our world with our words. We cannot speak death over ourselves all the time, death and destruction, because that's what you breed. Y'all hear what I'm saying? So you speak life, you speak abundance, you speak, you know, what God says about the situation, not what we see about the situation. The fear that's been trying to come on me is trying to prepare for what I know is coming, you know, but we just have to have faith. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaks. By faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And we know, what is the only way to please God? It's called F-A-I-T-H, faith. Our faith is what pleases God. Can we have faith even though our eyes see such utter destruction? And the answer is yes. Because our God is in control of the elements. Nobody's going to be able to do anything until God says so. And when he says so, his grace is sufficient for us. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. And that's what I told Dennis. I said, Dennis, God is either God or he's not in our lives. You know what I mean? For he that comes to God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Are we on the brink of our miracle? Are we on the edge of collapse because we're on the brink of our miracle? Do y'all hear what I'm saying? How many people give up right before their miracle comes? Because we have surely felt like giving up. It's been a really rough road over the past 6 months. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Man, I'm about to cry. Preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And when he went out, not knowing where he went. We're all walking in uncharted territory, every one of us. I don't care where you're living. I don't care what your financial situation is. I don't care who's living with you. You know, every one of us is in the same boat, everyone. Because we know we're targets, and we don't know what's on the other side of this thing. I mean, they do have all the power, of course, as far as, you know, earthly power, the judicial arm, the weapons, you know, and all of their tactics and plans, the plots and plans of the enemy. So we're all in this boat together for sure. But God is truly, truly, truly encouraging us this morning that this is the time when we step out of that boat that we keep our eyes on Jesus so we don't sink and fall. Because he's going to guide this ship. And it's going to take us into uncharted territory that we're all uncomfortable about. And I know I'm not just talking to myself. Not knowing where he was going at the end of verse 8. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. In other words, we're here in the earth. We're not of the earth. We're of heaven. We're of a heavenly realm. You know, we have promises of our kingdom that belong to us. We're here, thus we're subjected to their rules to a point, and we will answer to those as to a point, but we're ultimately in the kingdom of God, period. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Everybody lift your hands right now. Say, in the name of Jesus, just as we stated the other day, that Jesus is our rock on church on Sunday. Our foundation today is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our foundation is solid. It's a sure foundation. Our builder and maker is God. And that's who we trust in Jesus' name. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she got her promise. Why? Because she judged God faithful who had promised. And this is really speaking to me because God promised a lot of things to me I haven't seen yet. He is faithful and we trust him, right? Therefore, sprang there even of one and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. Boy, that's really speaking to me too. Are we going to die with these promises? We have promises, visions that God has given us that has not come to pass. We're going to die with those. So what I'm hearing God say is, whether we see it with our natural eye or not, we must still have faith till the day we die. We trust in him. Because he said they didn't receive their promise, right? But they died believing they was going to get that promise. It's a matter and a posture of the heart, right? Let me say that again then. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, which means they've had dreams about it and these promises, and were persuaded that it was going to happen, and even embraced them, which means they believed in their heart they was going to reach the promised land, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. In other words, when they say, you know, they confess they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, they are longing for heaven, their heavenly home. And that's what is more important. That's what me and Dennis talked about this morning. That's what's more important is God's kingdom. Whatever happens to our material things, to the house and to us and all this other stuff, it's all in God's hands. This is where we have to have faith and trust His promise, even though in the natural realm, in the earthly realm, we may never see it come to pass. But as we're hearing the word say, they all died in faith. Whereas, like I confessed earlier in the call, I've really had my faith tested over the past 6 months. You know, I don't have to get into why, but the point is I have. And plus knowing that all of this is coming in and that, you know, it's going to be very soon. So fear tries to come on you. You see what I mean? But we have to keep our faith. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Verse 15, we are in Hebrews 11. Verse 15, to those of you who just signed in. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Which means, if we focus on what's happening in the country and we're mindful of it to where we believe that more than the promises of God, and that's probably what happened to me over the past 6 months. You know, all of this that's happening has taken a toll on me and my spirit. You know, and, you know, God is realigning me back into my faith through this fast. Y'all see what I mean? Which is really good because we need to be realigned, you know. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly country. So in other words, let's shift our focus here, you know. Our focus is on our heavenly kingdom. Like I said when I was with that man the other day, and we was able to pray with him before he died. What a blessing. What a blessing. And then I go see him at the funeral a couple of days later, and he's already there. He made it. He's in the kingdom. He's waiting on us. You see, what a day that man is having right now. After all the years of suffering and falling down and being embarrassed because his neighbors have to come pick him up. When he was such a, you know, a farmer and such a hunter and such a, he was a bricklayer, you know, retired military man. You know, he had all this manly pride, and now his body has failed him, and now he has to see these new neighbors, you know, come to help him. You see what I mean? He's frail now. But now he's not. He's in his heavenly kingdom. He made it to his reward. He was faithful to the end, and now he is enjoying his life. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Ain't that beautiful? For he has prepared for them a city. Woo, can you imagine what that city's like? I got a song. I'm going to have to sing it. I dream of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. As I entered the gates of that city, the angels all met me there. They carried me from mansion to mansion, and all the sights I saw. But then I said, I want to see Jesus. He's the one who died for all. Then I bowed on my knees and cried, holy. I cried, holy. I cried, holy. Holy. I clapped my hands and sang glory. Glory to the Son of God. As I entered the streets of glory, my loved ones all knew me well. They took me down the streets of heaven. The scenes, they're too many to tell. I saw Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, and Mark, and Tim. But then I said, I want to see Jesus. He's the one who died for me. Then I bowed on my knees and cried, holy. I cried, holy. I cried, holy. Holy. I clapped my hands and sang, holy. I clapped my hands and sang, glory, glory. I sang, glory, glory. I clapped my hands and sang, glory, glory to the Son of God. sang glory to the Son of God. What a day that's going to be, man. Okay, going back to the scripture here. Now, as we noted in the scripture before in verse 16, that Jesus is up there preparing a city for us, okay? And this is our blessed hope. With all the things happening today that are so crazy, is that wonderful city, okay? By faith, Abraham, verse 17, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. Isn't that beautiful? You think of God with Jesus. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he had received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Boy, that will preach, wouldn't it? We're all about to suffer affliction because of what we believe. He's bloodthirsty for the saints. There's no doubt about it. So every Christian has a choice coming up. Listen to this rooster out here bossing me around. See how he does? He's out there just letting me have it. They're hungry. Dennis hadn't went out to feed them. So he's letting me know. Anyway, every Christian's going to have to make this choice. Are they going to suffer and choose Jesus and the next kingdom to come where their blessed home is? Which home are you going to, in other words? If you choose the ways of this world, your home is only going to be here. If you choose heaven, then you're going to lose your home here. You have to be willing to lose it all for him type of deal. Which home are you going to? Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. And that's the name of this sermon today, greater riches. What is our greater, what is more important to us? What is our greater rich? Is it the status of society? Is it our financial account? Is it our image before our neighbors? Is it our status of our housing situation, our material things? Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Where is our treasure? Is it in Egypt, which is the world, or is it in Christ? For he has respect unto the recompense of the reward. In other words, we know which decision and the consequences, on the other side of that. And that's what we tell our children, you know, listen, son, listen, daughter. You know, and most of us, if not all of us, have warned our kids by now. So we've gotten to the point that they're going to do what they're going to do. But you still are responsible as a parent to warn them and to let them know that they can do what they want to, yes, but they have to know, as a child of God, we're informing you of the consequence of that decision. You can do what you're going to do. I can't control you. But you will have consequences either way it goes. You're either going to suffer here and go into glory, or you're going to live at large here and suffer later. That's really the only choice there is. You know, and my family member, I'm not going to say who it is on this recording, but that we have been praying for a lot that has the mental issues, informed me yesterday that I'm the reason they have it. You know, it's just a point of blame when you try to love them and help them all the time, you know, but because of the Christianity, it throws them over the edge, so it hurts their mental health, you know. So they don't want anything else to do with me because of that, but there's nothing else I can do. It's who I am. I mean, I can't give you suggestions of help without including God, because He is the answer. I mean, it is what it is. They're going to do what they're going to do. But I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and I know in whom I trust. So, and who's the answer to the world's problems type of deal. Anyway, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than treasures in Egypt. You know, God loves those that He corrects, rebukes, and chastises. And this is where I implore you, you know, to really enjoy God's rebuke. Not that it feels good, it does hurt. But I would rather Him do it now and help me to stay on the right track, you know, and to disrupt my life, to get me to see straight, kind of smack me out of my stupor. You hear what I'm saying? Of course, we'd rather Him do that, because sometimes we can get stupid. You know, we're only human. But it's better for us to go through His chastisement, rebuke, and correction on this side of glory than to stand before Him because we got stupid and we got rebellious and got off track. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And that's what it's saying right here, esteeming the reproach of Christ. Lord, I highly revere Your correction and chastisement. You're my Father, you know, and fathers correct and whip and keep their children in alignment because they love them. Those that just let their kids go off and be crazy and wild, they don't love them. They just don't want to face the wrath of the children's face because they have to say no. But saying no and doing what's right saves them in the end. They can get mad at you right now, but at least they know the truth, and it's in their heart now when they think about what they're doing. That's in their head. You know, Mama said, if I get into crypto, it's going to take me to hell. They're considering that versus a parent that never says nothing, and the kid goes off into crypto, and then they get caught up in this worldwide web by the spider, you see. So let's continue. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Oh, boy, that one got me. Bam. Not fearing the wrath of the king, because that's exactly what we're facing today and what has drove me for the past 6 months. The wrath of the king trying to grab me like a spirit, you know, trying to put all this fear on me because of the king. But the word says right here, we forsake Egypt. We do. They want to pull us back to Egypt. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Bam, bam, bam. It's not how you begin the race, it's how you finish, right? Because we see what they can't see. we see King of Kings and Lord of Lords, glory, hallelujah. King of Kings and Lord of Lords, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, Prince of Peace, glory, hallelujah. See, they can't see him, but we see him. And that when we endure, we shall see. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. Remember, we talked about this before, that God's blessings are meant for you. It's not meant for the wicked. They get burned up in the fire when they try to get the blessings, because they're meant for God's people. It's like a supernatural garden, okay? So let's say your neighbors over here who are choosing to be wicked, and they see you in your supernatural garden, and they see your blessings overflowing. So they want to come over there and partake of that blessing. But the blessings are not meant for them, unless God told you to do it for them. The blessings are meant for you. It's a light to us, but a wall of fire to them. Okay. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days, which means that was the obedience they had to do, march around it 7 days. So because of the obedience, the wall fell down. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, or Barak and Samson and Jephthah, and David and Samuel of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire. See, we're being reminded this morning of the goodness of God and the miracles he has done for his people over the generations. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. Bam! God is letting us know, if we are carted off, he'll be with us. He'll help us. Waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Aww. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Now here is where it gets sad, because he's talking about the suffering of the saints. So we hear this one chose to be tortured rather than being delivered, which means they were probably bribed or something. To be delivered and not be tortured. Like, if you will come over here and do this for us, you will not be tortured. But the scripture says that they might obtain a better resurrection. In other words, you can have my body, but you can't have my spirit. My spirit is going to live forever, and that's why I'm here. This earth is only a place to pass through. I'm here for, you know, such a time as this. And others had trial of crushing, mockings, and scourgings. We know those days are coming. We hear them talk about the scourge of society. The scourge of society. The mockings. The public humiliation coming to the church. Y'all have to remember that all this is setting up for the church's demise. Because they want the Noahide laws to come forth and want people to want that religion of Kabbalah. They want people to think that first covenant, which is not these people, because they're the Jews that say they're Jews and they're not. It's not them, but they're playing on that. But they want people to think that the original was the better, and all of this that they've been taught about Christianity, which is where the Hebrew roots deal comes in, is all wrong. So just abandon, renounce Jesus, because that's not even his real name. You know, this is what they tell everybody. You know, abandon this New Testament version of religion. And because look at all these people, man, they're all frauds. They're all a farce. They're all liars, cheaters, stealers, sex traffickers, you know, all this stuff they're going to be putting on people because they want to defame Jesus. They want to defame Christ. And others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yet moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were put in prison. They were stoned, sawn asunder, which means they were sawed in half. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Wow. These Christians really suffered, didn't they? Of whom the world was not worthy. Isn't that something? All these Christians that suffered, the world was not worthy of them. They wandered in the deserts and in the mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. Are we ready to suffer this way, bride? Do you think we could do this? Are we better than these Christians? I don't think so. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, did not receive the promise. Boy, God's really talking, because this has really been a battle in my life. The past 6 months, all the suffering. These people suffered and did not receive the promise. How many churches do y'all know preach like this? God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, pause. In other words, we just finished the conversation of the suffering of the saints. The climactic battle that they have in the earth of the two different wheels, the way of the earth with the temptations and the kingdom of this world, status and possessions, yada yada, identity. Then the kingdom of heaven, which will cost you everything, suffering, yada yada. But in the next chapter, in chapter 12, verse 1, it talks about we are compassed about with a greater cloud of witnesses. And remember what I said. I have to keep telling this because it happened to me. When I finished that tour, 36 states, 18,000 miles across this country, I did a national Christian march in Washington, D.C., and only had 10 people there. I was so disappointed. But while I was up there preaching, looking at the White House, the great cloud of witnesses come through the sky, and I saw them just plain as day. They look like a bunch of judges. And there was my mother. I got to see my mother. She had died 9 months before, and she was with them. And the Lord spoke to me right there. He said, "This is who you're doing it for. These people are watching." So don't ever look at numbers. And that's how I have done this entire ministry. is not looking at numbers. It's looking at those people watching. And since I'm on this subject, I'd say about 4 or 5 months later, I was in my apartment in D.C. that I loved. And I was outside on this awesome patio that overlooked the city type of deal. And I was out there praying one morning. And I saw in the spirit the great cloud of witnesses come through the sky. And they were right over my apartment. And they were looking behind me, which was Washington, D.C. And I feared God. I was scared for our country. Because holy, holy, holy is the only way to describe what that felt like to see. These are like the ultimate judges of heaven, the great cloud of witnesses. I see them like, you know, the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 apostles, you know. These are the top dogs of heaven, and they're looking in a judgmental way at the condition of our country, what we're doing. And I was so humiliated for our peoples and what we were doing before God and what He was seeing. So when it says here in this scripture, so great a cloud of witnesses, that's a real thing. This is who we're doing it for. Just know, like, in the world, we have the beast watching us everywhere through cameras and all the other smart stuff. But we have a more eye that is upon us that's more important than the beast, and that's the great cloud of witnesses. So we have to know they're watching at all times. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So here we are, bride. We're running. We're almost to the finish line of this race that we've been running. Some of us are in our late 50s, late 60s, late 70s, late 80s. We're still running. Of course, our bodies may not be able to run, but we're still in our Christian walk. We're still running the race. So we're not done yet. So we can't give up now. We can't cave to the beast now. We got to hold out, stick it out to the end, and trust God in the uncharted territory for Him to carry us and finish it with us, who will give us the grace to finish. Okay? Who for the joy... Okay, looking to Jesus. Okay, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, like I said about getting out of the boat and looking at Jesus, not looking to the right or the left. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Wow. What He went through on that cross. Wow, wow, wow. We're going to have to endure what we're about to go through. Despising the shame. He was shamed. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. Himself. Like, think about Jesus, what He went through and His suffering, scourging, and all the other things that He went through. And then consider ourselves. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. See, that's what's been happening to me the past 6 months. I'm weary. I'm tired. This battle, seeing all this that I'm seeing, is wearing me out. I need refreshing. That's what this 40-day fast is for. And faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted to blood, striving against sin. Ha! Here am I worried about my suffering, knowing what Jesus did. He sweated blood. He really suffered. I think I'm suffering. Ha! That's what he's saying here. You have not yet resisted unto blood. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of him. See, that's what we talked about earlier in this conversation today. Not to despise the Lord's chastising and whipping when we get off track. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. In other words, he whips every kid, just like a real father whips a kid. So we don't get mad at him for it. We accept it. Lord, we thank you for correcting us. Thank you for setting me straight, Lord. You know, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? You know, some parents, they spoil their kids so much. They never whip them. They never say no. They never chastise them. And it hurts the kid. And they wonder why their kids never want to get saved. I mean, you know, it's because the kids, the parents always save them. They don't allow them to see Jesus. Which we talked about this a couple of weeks ago about, you know, letting our kids go back to Jesus and suffer. Your decisions that you're making is of your own. I'm not making it for you. You're doing this. So if you're doing that, you're going to have to face the consequences of that. I'm not going to save you anymore. So if you can't have a place to live because you refuse to do right, then that's your consequences. That's your choice. Jesus is the answer, and, you know, you have to give your life to him. You see what I'm saying? Because, listen, I'm not telling you guys nothing that I haven't already done and been through. I told you how I lost it all because I reached in there with my hand of strength of hand to save my daughter because I couldn't stand her suffering and I wanted to make her life better and to help her and to bring her out of this pit. I had the answer. Pull her out of there. I left Bible college over it. Gave up my destiny and my calling to help my child. Was that the right thing to do? Absolutely not. Because God is in control. I should have trusted God. And it to this day, I'm paying for it. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure the chastening, God deals with you as a son. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? For if you be without chastisement, whereof you are all partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Whoa! That's plain as day. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which correct us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be subjected to the Father of spirits and live? Yes. For they verily for a few days chastised us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but it's grievous. In other words, it's going to hurt when God whips us. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So if there's anybody that's listening that feels like, you know, you are being chastened of the Lord, you are being whipped and rebuked and kind of set in alignment, You know, just know that God's working it all out. You know, trust in Him and watch your tongue so that you don't speak in opposition of what He's doing. You know, because like it says in verse 11, none of this is joyous, what you go through, but it is grievous. Wherefore, lift up your hands which hang down and your feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. In other words, don't succumb your members to the suffering. You know, choose to thank the Lord and to worship God through this. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God. See, that right there, if they fail of the grace of God. Failing, backsliding, losing their salvation. I do not believe in once saved, always saved. Absolutely not. The once saved, always saved is a false doctrine, because that is what the scripture is saying right here. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Be diligent or you will lose your salvation. That's exactly what that scripture is saying. Lest any root of bitterness springs up and troubles you, and thereby many be defiled. So bitterness, let's deal with that right now, because some of us may be going through our stuff, our junk, because of bitterness. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's because of bitterness in our heart. And the hardening of our heart. So let's deal with that right now. Lift your hands and say, in the name of Jesus, I choose to today, by an act of my will, to forgive my oppressors of the past and my oppressors of the present. And I forgive them, Lord. And please forgive me for anything I've done wrong in the middle of that bitterness. Lord, please forgive me and make my crooked path straight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Lest there be any fornication or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness or darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they had heard, entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through without a dart, with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, and heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Isn't that awesome? In other words, we're not alone. We have an innumerable company of angels. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are church of the firstborn, that's Jesus, he was the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaks. For if they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things which are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace. Whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Bam! Our God is a consuming fire. Yes, he is. We need more of your grace, Lord. We need more of your grace today, Lord. We humbly come before you today, submitting ourselves to you, Lord. Submitting our bitterness to you, Lord. Submitting our sins to you, Lord. We submit our wills to you, Lord. We submit our future to you, Lord. We submit our present to you, Lord. We worship and praise your most holy name this morning. We thank you, Lord, for chastising us, whipping us, correcting us, putting us back on the potter's wheel, lining everything up, making our crooked path straight, helping our eyes to see correctly, regazing our eyes, our ears, cleaning our ears out, taking us to our destination, Lord. Our heart's desire is to finish our race with grace. In Jesus' name, amen.